Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of I Dig Your Soul podcast with your host, Nadia Khalil.
To today's show. Today is Friday, June 11th. We have an 11, we have a Friday, we have a great start to a weekend. It is already the end of the week. I can't believe it. We're getting a huge heat wave here next week, so I'm going to enjoy this last kind of cool day where you go out and the wind is cool, because it's going to be hot for like many days in a row. So here we go for summer. But today I have a couple of questions. One of them is a super long one by Susan Ulrich, and this is where it goes. Between hope and fear, how do we keep our middle ground when a family member suffers from illness and things look really bad? There is always room for miracles, and yet there is the need for patience and growth. And even if nothing happens to the visible eyes, the person slowly going is still there, and maybe for years, not just the way they used to be, or just not the way they used to be. Why does this hurt? It means we missed out on enjoying what we had. It means we care. It means we miss who they used to be. Time is fast and life is precious. Each moment spent in joy, in purity, we take home with us. Each moment we feel the value of life we live. I never felt this so clearly as I do today. I dream a ton of dreams every night, and I am exhausted. As a family member, I feel the need to care and help and jump in. Yet, I cannot give up my life. What is the 101 of self-care in such emotional and painful situations? Sleep, walk, clean, rest, quiet time, crying time, hugs, and homemade food with loved ones. It's the glue that keeps me together. For any background, Susan's father experienced a stroke and obviously severe enough for things to have changed. I have been in caretaking for now over 2 years, and we also have Maria who lost her husband to long-term illness issues. And we are all embarking, as we get older, on more situations exactly like Susan described, and I had to describe even to myself because I'm still in it. And twice I had to take off the radio, which I never did before for that length of time. There was no way I could do everything. There was only so much butter to put on the bread. There just wasn't anything more you could do in a day. And your days run into each other, and you get quiet. You don't really feel like talking because you're watching someone go through something we can't fix. It's out of our control. We are basically a witness and a helper. Sometimes helping is that we are just there. We want to do more. We start putting pressure on ourselves. We start taking away from ourselves. We stop taking care of ourselves. We make all these things coming and going every day a part of our new life now. And then how do you stop your life and just take care of them or just go and sit? How do you do that? Because we don't have, you know, a way of just stopping our lives. How do we deal with a changed situation, health-wise, in our families, because the emotions are high and then low, depending on the day. No 2 days are alike, even though them being ill is alike. It takes you for a run. I have to say, it got me. It got me, but it took 2 years and about 3 months to really get me to a place where I was like, I can't cut anything else out. Like, what else do I do now? And I had to scale back. I had to take a part of myself and detach it from an unhealthy attachment that I added in myself. Because we want to save. We thrive to live. We want to help. We don't want someone to suffer. We don't want them to feel like they'll never be normal again. We're careful about how we talk to them. We have all these things swirling, and nobody takes care of the caretaker, because the caretaker is the one taking care mentally, physically, or both of the person who's sick. And what I found out is that I could do my research on Google and I could figure out what was going on and I could learn. That's my choice. But the healthcare part, I'm not a doctor. I had to separate myself from diagnosing or assuming, because we almost, you know, lose our people that are close to us from time to time, and we save them somehow. And then we say, oh, my God, we've seen this so many times where they've gone down and nothing's happened, and then something happens. And we take all this emotion on to a point where we just don't know what else we can do. So we start reaching out, and I think the most healthy thing is like the questions you're asking. You're being faced with what life means, how fast it can go by, how fast your history becomes way far away history, and this is the new normal. And you ask, why does this hurt? Because at times you start to think about yourself, how much you love the people around you, and how you have no control. You have no control over them. And you start to realize the only control you have is over you. And then you're one of those people that start walking around and going, hey, man, appreciate every minute. Hey, man, make better choices, choices you really want. Don't just do stuff and waste your time. Time is your greatest asset. Wow, I can't go back and retake back what I've done, said, or been. I wish I could, but I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm in it. I wish I could have you back the way you were, even though when you were that way, I just took for granted that you were that way, because we're all that way. And all this stuff is just going through your head. And we forget. I forget a lot, especially in the beginning. Like beginning, I'm talking of over the two-year mark. So just recently, when I came back that second time, after taking yet another 6 weeks off and it feeling like a week, I was just so tired. I was tired and I didn't have anything left to let go of. And you stand there and you just wish things can go back to normal and you can breathe again. But then deeper inside, you know that that can't happen, and then you feel hurt. Other times you do feel that patience. You do feel that growth. We are going to miss who they used to be. We are going to miss what we used to do. We are going to miss what we think are missed opportunities. And then I had to, like, consciously tell myself, I can only do my best. Okay, we say that one a lot. But I had to mean it. And instead of looking at the situation as something that I'm going to miss or be scared, I turned it around in my mind that I am honored to be a part of this part of their journey. That I am a witness. I started thanking God that they had someone around them that loves them and cares about them and wants to do right by them. I had to acknowledge that I too needed help in this. Because the helper is the last to be seen, the last to be looked at, because you're just like the supporting system, you know, the foundation that's holding the building up, or your other parent, or they may be aging as well. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to a picture that's very much the same to everybody who all of a sudden finds themselves in a situation where a family member suffering from illness. And the crazier part, in today's world of medicine, the same illnesses that would kill someone quickly or take their life quickly to any of us, most of those things when we were younger are now manageable illnesses. They can be managed through medications. And yes, you won't be the same, or they won't be the same. A lot of times we're like, at least they're here. We want them here. When my mom had an aneurysm and they found a way to keep her going, my sisters and I, even though she was in a wheelchair because she only lived for 4 months after, we wanted her any way we could get her. We didn't want her to go. Even though I know where she's going is beautiful and great, and she'll be whole again. We are hardwired to save, to thrive, to keep life going. We are not wired to go, oh, well. So all of the feelings you are feeling, they are exactly what every single one of us goes through, where we have moments of clarity, and then we have moments of, why is this happening? And then we have moments of, God, I'm just so tired. I can't do it 24/7. Or whatever it is that starts going through our minds, don't isolate. I actually got on websites for caretakers. I realized what I was feeling was normal. It's hard not to internalize what we are going through, what we are seeing. And bigger than that is it's hard for us to have to look outside of our normal surroundings, our family, and be in the care of caretakers in a hospital or people coming to the house if you need that, or medical equipment in your house and you had to learn how to use all of this and make sure that you don't do something erroneously. There's just so many moving parts. So many moving parts. And all you can do is help. There's more family members than you. Take shifts. It's not that you can't be there all the time, but maybe you could be there and give your mom some time, even if she just wants to sit and read or go to sleep or go shopping for groceries, whatever it is she wants to do. Or whatever it is you want to do, for there to be a balance between you and other family members so that nobody is trapped by themselves dealing with this. So creating a support system for all of the people around that can help helps. I was so happy, you know, my son is like a free agent now and he wasn't signed, because I look at him and I go, I don't know if I could have done this without you here. I don't know if I could have. I was showing signs of just being so tired that when I realized there was nothing else I can take off my plate, nothing else. And I started realizing that the same things that I enjoy that normally like will take me from A to B when I need it, I didn't enjoy anymore. I wasn't feeling it. I was too tired. And I was trying to like tell people the warning signs, but I, you know, we, not just I, look so strong when we're the ones taking care of somebody, even though we're depleting. And we don't realize what we're doing to ourselves. And I had a huge wake-up call when it came to that. And that's why I'm telling you, balance. Have somebody else help. If people tell you or ask you if you need help, say yes. Give yourself a night off. Again, like you would be giving your mother or another family member some time off. Take it. Even if it means you just take a long bath or you watch a show or whatever it is you do, it doesn't matter. Find a way to allow others to help. It may feel easy to pick this up and put it over there or just to feed or just to do this or just to make sure they're breathing, however far we have to go. Because during the after about 2 years of caregiving, and I'm out, my daughter gets me a, a gift certificate for a massage for Mother's Day. So I go. I get in my robe. I'm waiting for the person to come. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you to my daughter in my mind. Just thank you for even thinking of this, because now that I take this person to a facility, and they do their dialysis there, not in the house, and the house no longer feels like a hospital because the stuff that was at home was no longer working. We had to go to a greater means of care. It gave me like these 12 free hours a week. And right as I'm starting to say, okay, what do I pay attention to first? What do I do first? I couldn't figure it all out. I'm sitting there waiting for the lady to come and pick me up. I got there early, of course. I was so excited. And as I was sitting there, I felt my chest completely tighten, like tighten. And when I was breathing, it was like under it. It was like my chest felt like a piece of wood. And I go, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. And then I go, a heart attack. Holy cow. And I'm thinking, all right, I got to make sure that, you know, my son picks up the person from dialysis. I got to make sure that I get myself to a hospital. I got to go change. I got to let them know I'm leaving. I can't do my appointment. And all these things are going through my head, because even in that state, I still felt like I had to make sure the ball keeps rolling with or without me. With or without me. Talk about an objective point. With or without me. Because it was almost going to be a without me in my mind at that moment. And no matter how much I was trying to breathe in, I could not get rid of that tightening. And then I started thinking, like, logically, like, okay, my left arm isn't tingling, and my jaw's not locked, so it couldn't be a heart attack, and I have low blood pressure. How could I be having a heart attack? And then I'm like, trying to think it through, and I go, and I don't feel anything weird in my left arm, and I'm diagnosing myself, because by now I've been reading so much stuff about health. And then I said, let me go change. Let me get myself to a hospital, and I'm going through these steps. And then I get to my phone, which was in a locker, and I Google chest tightening, any other symptoms. And I had a panic attack. I never had one before. I had no idea what it felt like. Now I know. And it's as a result of that fight or flight feeling. And then my brain goes, "Oh, thank God it was only a panic attack." Because I was comparing it to having a heart attack. And I said, "I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm in the best place I could be." And the whole time I never told the lady what happened because I was scared they'd send me home, but I knew that I would be okay. And I was thanking God that I had a panic attack because in my mind it validated to me everything I'd been feeling in the weeks leading up to it of just feeling like I didn't know where to find a resting place. I was so jumpy. Every time I hear a noise, I'm running up. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I like just was done myself. So we get the value of life, do get exhausted. It's good that you jump in when there's care and help. It's good that you even have that choice. So look at that. Balance your time. If you can, go there at a regular time so the other person who's doing the caretaking as well can plan something, anything, nothing. It's a group effort. Because even the strongest of people, and I'm a pretty strong person, took it over 2 years to get to me, to catch up to me, to make me realize how important it is that the caretaker gets care as well as the person who needs the care from the caretaker. Because that value of life that you say each moment we feel the value of life also includes yours. And you're going through an entire life-changing, life-defining, life-enriching, life-rejuvenating, and also process of life with your family. And this is a healing experience by every account. There is no downside. Not even the illness, because nothing is as it seems. And as we get older, our bodies are going to do things. And we're left to respond. We're left to try to make better. We're left to keep life going. We start realizing the value of that person. And it's so hard to warn people before anything happens because they're like, "Oh, nothing will ever happen." And I say, "Hey, you know what? Repair. Hey, you know what? Forgive. Hey, you know what? Be patient with others. You can't decide who and how other people should be. That's not yours. Just like you can't decide when someone is born and you can't decide when they leave. Not in your hands. All of these thoughts, all of these feelings, all of this stuff, no one can tell you that something means you care. Your heart is the only thing that knows, the only part of you that knows. And just by what you've written, it's not only that we care, that's the other double hit on a caretaker, is that sometimes you have feelings you're not comfortable with. And those are the scariest feelings of all until I spoke to another. She was a caretaker of both of her parents. And until I talked to her and she said, "You know, sometimes you wonder, they're suffering so much. Is it better if they weren't here and God just let them rest or let them feel whole again? Those are natural thoughts you don't think you would ever have. But then those are just part of the mix of thinking, because we are efficient thinkers. We are people who look at life and we make the best of it. And when we see life disappearing, sometimes we don't know what to do with those thoughts. And then you have to say to yourself, oh, wow, this is normal. I love this person. My brain, my heart, my body, my soul want to do right by them. I remember telling my mom in her ear, it's okay if you go. But she wasn't done yet. She still had a lot of teaching. She taught me more in her silence at that time. So now I know that even if I have those thoughts or not, it's not in my hands. The only thing in my hands is that I'm a witness. And I will help make this better in every way I can. It becomes a team effort. It becomes a village. The most important advice I could give anyone is not to isolate, because it's a lot of emotional and physical care. Because the day I got that panic attack and I felt I didn't have control of my own health for a minute or a few, and I couldn't even release that piece of wood feeling I had on my chest no matter how hard I breathed. It was super weird, but it was my alarm system. My alarm system was going off. And that's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you now. This question could not have come at a better time. Because even to talk about it, even to tell you, it's healing. It's healing. Because for the most part in our everyday lives, we don't think in each moment the value of life that we live, like you're doing now. That's why I say this is a defining moment in your life. Take a look at your life. Look at how little the past means right now. Because there's nothing we can do about that. That's gone. That's like in a tornado that just went away. So take a look at what you love. It doesn't have to be groundbreaking, you know, huge news. Just what do you love? And what you love may just be having a simple day, enjoying nature, enjoying your family, not feeling like you always have to prove something or show somebody something that says you're worth it, that you already are. So keep that in mind and heart. I only have 60 seconds left. I had another question from Francis about do not be deceived. I'm going to do a show about that on Monday. And Susan, I hope we had enough of a discussion. It can go on for days, but enough of one to help answer your question. If you have more, please let me know. And I'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the I Dig Your Soul podcast. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.